Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, welcome to this week's episode of Freaks and Geeks. We're having a little bit of technical difficulties, so just bear with us. This is Carrie coming to you from another dimension.
Carrie, you want me to go ahead?
Yeah, if you don't mind.
All right. Wow, you really do sound like you're coming from another dimension. All right, guys, welcome to Freaks
and
Geeks.
And this is an immense improvement.
Oh my goodness, you sound horrible, babe. Well, like I said, welcome to Freaks and Geeks. My name is Stacy, and our hostess with the mostest, April, is experiencing a little bit of technical difficulties right now, April and Chris. So we're just going to go ahead and get started. If you haven't joined us on our Facebook page, I would highly recommend that you do, and that is not a biased statement at all. I just think it's great. We have a great community growing over there. Lots of cool, fun, kooky, supernatural, and sciencey things for you to like, share, and comment on. And, you know, we want to hear from you. We want to hear from you about tonight's show, maybe a show you listen to on a podcast, one of the podcast apps that are out there. Message us. Let us know what you like, what you didn't like, what you'd like to see. We always want to talk to our listeners. So, as always, tonight I'm joined right now by my good friend Cosmic Carrie.
Thank you. Definitely Cosmic Carrie tonight.
Yes, you are. You, poor thing, are still recovering from bronchitis. So we're going to let you chime in whenever you want to and whenever you're able to. But it's okay because I am here, Miss Celestial Stacy. Hello, everybody.
Yes, you are. Yes, you are there. Can you hear us?
Yes.
Thank God.
We got you.
Why is Blog Talk being such an asshole tonight? Jesus. It wouldn't let me create the episode, and then it wouldn't let me talk. And then every time we called back in, it kept not letting, like, it wouldn't even let us hear anything. We couldn't hear any sound. Nothing.
Well, I think Carrie and I had it covered between the two of us.
Well,
and I
fantastic.
Think we did a whamadine job. I'm just saying that. Don't you think so, Care?
Definitely.
Yeah.
Care's poor voice.
I know.
Well, of course, we're also joined tonight by the dulcet tones of our Corona Christopher.
Oh, yeah. Well, how did you get to Corona?
It's all space-themed and universe-themed, and a corona is the furthest extent of the sun's, like, of the sun's atmosphere.
Why don't you do, like, Cortana, like Master Chief?
I don't know. I was thinking of beer.
Well, a corona is actually literally the furthest extent of the sun's atmosphere. Did you know?
Are you saying you want me to be really far away?
Yes, always.
Why? Why wouldn't you want me near?
I feel like your dulcet tones aren't going tonight. Can you give it to us? Need to feel it. I need to feel
I don't feel
it yet. We all need it. Come on, babe. Come on. You got this.
Well, I don't know about you, but we're gonna get out into space and we're gonna really feel it out there in the fringe.
Oh my god. Okay, you got it. All right.
Like it's coming. Coming in through my earbuds, and it's just like
just a little vibration, little
good vibrations.
Mm-hmm. Just some sensual vibrations. Well, tonight we will be talking about past lives and past life regression, alongside that the theories of reincarnation, both really kind of go hand in hand. Super interesting topic, though, and luckily we have the number one basketball team in the nation, University of
Woo-hoo!
Virginia. Yeah, hell yeah. Yes, Virginia. I mean, it's crazy for me to say that because I'm a Virginia Tech grad and we're sworn enemies, but you know what? It's all Virginia love at the end of the day, and that's awesome. And
yeah,
in case you didn't know.
Yeah, and I'm a graduate from Pitt, so I'm just cheering for ACC at this point. So
yeah, sometimes you just got to drop it down a notch and let it, you know, like let it go.
I got a shirt you can wear, babe.
I hate you. Well, there is one really cool thing about the University of Virginia, though, and there's actually several universities within the U.S. that actually have this as kind of a discipline, and that is the University of Virginia's Division of Perceptual Studies. Super cool. And they have done over 50 years of active research on this very topic. Dr. Jim
That's
Tucker
cool.
of UVA, yeah, fucking forever. And Jim Tucker's been there the whole time. He actually had a predecessor who had started an investigation before that. But Dr. Jim Tucker was Dr. Ian Stevenson's, who we'll talk about in just a second. He was his apprentice, and he was helping him recode all of his data into a way that would be easier for it to be ingested. And eventually that became the computer. So anyway. That's me going on a limb. Dr. Jim Tucker of UVA is known as one of the most prominent authorities on past lives and reincarnation, and we will be pulling heavily from the information that he has published, as well as Dr. Ian Stevenson, see, brought it back around, also of UVA. Unfortunately, Dr. Stevenson passed in 2007, and his work has been carried on.
I have a question.
Go ahead.
So this is a different department than the one that we were discussing last week.
No, it's the same department.
It's the same one?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, like, I wonder how many different kind of fringe departments that the University of Virginia has.
So it's all of the parapsychology-related stuff. It's all the Division of Perceptual Studies. They do reincarnation, past life regression, but they also do things like near-death experiences or after death trauma, like phenomenon, all sorts of things like that. There's a thousand things that they do there, and it's really cool. And actually, there's another reason why it's really cool as well, and we're going to talk about this a little bit later. And spoiler alert, the reason that it's so cool is because this entire department is run by endowments.
Oh wow, I
have an endowment,
Christopher Jesus.
Oh,
is that not
Lord.
The same thing?
It's not.
No, it's not.
It's not the same thing.
And
no,
trust
sir.
Me, we're talking about perceptual studies, so that's just your perception.
Yeah. It's not a very big endowment. anyway,
I just want to go on record and say this is why men are horrible at measuring anything, because they have no idea what 6 inches really is.
Wow.
Oh, man.
Anyway, so since, you know, you have this kind of, you have this department at the University of Virginia, does this go towards legitimizing, like, actual scientific study of this kind of stuff?
So... a couple of years ago, I would have said yes, and I think I'll still say yes today, especially since now we know so much more about it. Carrie and I had the great fortune of being able to, we talked about this last year as well, we were able to go to University of Virginia during one of their festivals, and we were actually able to hear an entire panel worth of the DOPS crew speak about past life, reincarnation, near-death experiences, that kind of thing. And it was incredible. And what we actually got out of it is that it is being looked at very scientifically. However, we'll talk about this a little bit later. There are some skeptics.
I mean, there's going to be skeptics no matter what.
Well, for sure.
Right.
But scientifically, I mean, at some point, you either prove a theory or you don't.
I mean,
there's
skeptics saying that the Earth is flat.
Well,
so,
they're just idiots.
I mean, no matter what the scientific study, there's always going to be people who poo-poo it.
Well, I can tell you, like, for me, I'm really actually very interested in this, and I had no idea, other than when we touched upon it in our last episode, that this division even existed. And, you know, I have I have, you know, it's like undergrad, and I can tell you some of my favorite time that I spent in school was writing papers and doing research and just reading through journal publications. And I would love to read published.
Uh-oh, you're cutting out a little bit. But I know what you're saying, Stacey. And I can actually help you out there. So Dr. Tucker has actually produced a number. When I say a number, I mean like easily 10. He's either produced them himself or he has acted as a co-writer or been in forewords or whatever for other people that are also in his division that are doing research on this. And there's a ton of books out there. There's a ton of academic writing. If you don't have access to that, though, the books are on Amazon. Some of them are really pricey. I looked at one about a week ago, and it's $150. So definitely something to save up for.
Yeah, that's the thing. Those journals.
Hit up the library.
Hashtag library.
Yeah, because those journal articles, like those journals are really expensive. I mean, when you're in school, you have access to them through like the internet system, and, you know, or the library system on the internet and things like that through your school ID. But once you get out, you can't read them anymore. And see, I love to read those because I like to read the statistics and see what tests they did and what their sample sizes. I mean, I'm a true nerd.
Well, we're going to give you some statistics tonight, my dear.
Yes.
But let's begin all of this by explaining what reincarnation actually is.
All right. So, in theory, reincarnation is the concept that the soul or some aspect of the soul is reborn into new lives after one has passed from the physical realm or died. Reincarnation may also be called transmigration or metempsychosis. Did I say that right?
Yeah, you got it.
Depending on the religion or philosophy, the soul can appear incarnate in humans, animals, or plants as it works its way towards an eventual escape from the cycle of birth, death, and rebirth. Most religions that believe in reincarnation consider it the path purity and salvation. Reincarnation is widely accepted by the major Eastern religions and is most prominent in Hinduism and Buddhism. So this is like you get to the end of the cycle and you reach nirvana, correct?
Yeah, basically.
Okay.
So for Jainism, which is kind of in the same vein with Hinduism and Buddhism, Jainism actually has like a wheel, and then with the wheel, there's six spokes on the wheel. And those are six lives that you need to basically check the box on before you can go on and accomplish your highest. So basically, if you're a dick, from what I read, if you're a dick for four out of the six lives, then you probably might have to go on another round of the wheel before you reach enlightenment.
I have a question. I don't mean to sidetrack you too much on this, but like, so you say that there are six lives. Is there information that provides us what the characteristics of these lives are? Like, for example, could you look at this and you could say, okay, I'm definitely in my fifth life or something like that? How does that
No,
work?
I don't think so. Although there may be. So I did a very cursory search of Jainism and Buddhism and Hinduism when I was writing this and researching it. And it didn't seem that there was any rhyme or reason to exactly how evolution through the lives occurred. Or, you know, it isn't like your third life, you will be an animal. Although, you know, again, I could be wrong with this. It didn't seem that way. It seemed like it was kind of the luck of the draw. And it seemed like each time you made progress in your life, whatever that life is, then you were able to go up another spoke. So, for instance, if I was a bug and I was in, let's just say, you know, this is obviously very egotistical, but let's just say that bugs are beneath us on this spiritual ladder. Let's just say. I don't know that they are. They're probably wonderful. But
I'm a
bug. Yeah, they're probably like superior.
Yeah. No. Like, let's say I'm a wasp, because wasps are dickheads. I'm a wasp on this fucking ladder. and I have to be the best wasp I can be.
So that I can sting the shit out of everybody.
Yeah, so that I can go on and not be something else, a dung beetle in my next life. You know, like maybe after that I get to be, you know, a hamster. Who knows? But it seemed like the progress was based off of not necessarily the type of life, but the quality of the life, if that makes any sense.
It does. That's very interesting. I'd just be curious to see, to think about where the hell my life is right now and which one I'm on.
Is it too late to turn this ship around? Or
yeah, please tell me. Please tell me that there's like maybe only one more. I've only got to go one more spoke, or that like after this, it's, you know, I'm done with the cycle.
It's never too late. J.K. Rowling created Harry Potter at age 30. It's never too late.
I'm 35.
I'm 39. Shut up, both of you.
What's that got to do with the price of tea in China?
Hashtag too late.
Hey, Grandma Moses didn't start painting till she was like 89 years old or something.
Who?
Grandma Moses.
Who's that?
Grandma Moses.
Grandma
she was
Moses.
A painter.
You don't know Grandma Moses?
Here's the thing. I think Carrie's comments tonight are going to be epic because she only has so much vocal ability. So when she talks, it's just going to be they're going to be hashtag worthy things.
Mm-hmm. Hashtag Grandma
just
Moses.
Full on profound Silent Bob-esque comments.
I love it.
So I was a little off. She started painting when she was 78, and she lived 101 years. She was born before the start of the Civil War and died during the age of the hippies.
I mean,
wow.
Smoke them if you got them.
What?
Hey.
If she's that old in the 70s, you know that she's going to be, you know,
enjoying.
She's going to be seeing some things. We'll put it that way.
Maybe.
One can only hope that that's what we have to look forward to.
Yeah.
So what All I'm right. saying is, we're not even halfway to her age yet when she started painting.
That's true. And then, so later on, I want everyone that's listening to bestow this fact that Carrie has bestowed upon us, and you should put this little chunker into your brain and just remember it for later, because we are going to come back to that concept here in just a second.
Hashtag
cool.
Never too late.
We're going to spiral back around.
Never too late.
Never too late, or is it?
All right, so let's get into some past life regression, which is the practice of most often using hypnosis in or to recover what practitioners believe are memories of past lives or incarnations. Past life regression, which I think also goes along the lines of what we talked about with like hypnotic regression when we were doing like the alien episodes that you poo-pooed.
Oh, I blocked that one out.
Remember Betty and Barney Hill?
Mm-mm, I blocked it out.
Oh, my God. You poo-poo.
I remember.
I mean, I do remember.
Thank you.
But I'm trying.
At least somebody does. Somebody listens to me.
I listen to you, Christopher.
You only like it for the butt stuff.
Who doesn't love the butt stuff?
Hashtag
love
into
probe.
The butt.
Yeah,
hashtag
into
probing.
The... Hashtag into the void, as I like to call it.
You know what happened? Can we just go back to that real quick for 5 seconds? You know what happened? Betty and Barney Hill were out in the woods rooting around on each other, and then suddenly they got discovered, and they were like, wow, this is really embarrassing. We better make up a story that is going to make all this okay. And then,
hashtag
bada
alien.
Bada boom, now we got some fucking aliens.
God, you poo-poo aliens
alien.
So hard. They're out there. They exist.
Well, we might find out. Who knows?
Native American shamans communed with them.
Maybe they were aliens.
All right, so past life regression is typically undertaken either in pursuit of a spiritual experience, or in psychotherapeutic setting, or in a psychotherapeutic setting, sorry. Most advocates loosely adhere to beliefs about reincarnation, though religious traditions that incorporate reincarnation generally do not include the idea of repressed memories of past lives, unless you're in Scientology, you know.
Oh, God, I didn't even think of, like, listen, I put Scientology into a box. I'm not ready to open that box yet.
Every time I think about Scientology, it just makes my blood boil.
Hashtag Hubbard.
LRH can suck it. Often, in other cultures and religions, past life memories are seen as a more normal experience and regression is not necessarily needed.
Regression in the clinical sense of regression is what I meant by that. So, like,
going backwards?
Regression in the sense of psychotherapeutic regression. So, like, you know what? Let me just go through this because it'll kind of sound itself out.
it sounded better in my head.
So, well, I mean, no, it's fine. I need to clarify more, but we will. So, hold on. So, now, of course, there is a lot of skepticism on the techniques used to uncover past life regression, as the technique involves a highly contested form of hypnosis and suggestive questions, the same techniques used for recovered memory therapy.
Aliens.
Yeah, aliens. So, Betty and Bernie. So, what I'm talking about
probing.
Is that regression is not necessarily needed, is that for cultures and religions that believe in reincarnation, it's a much more organic experience. They don't necessarily go through or at all go through past life regression / the recovered memory therapy.
I don't see how you would have memories of past lives.
Well, some of us do, and we'll talk about that at the end.
Like,
Logically,
it doesn't make sense to me unless they just get implanted into your brain as a baby.
So I'm calling one of us out right now. Obviously, it's not you. Stop looking around. Why are you looking around? There's two of us in this room right now.
I just assume it's me.
Other past selves.
Help me!
Your past love? Jesus. Okay.
I was a successful sea captain in one of them.
Perhaps you were.
Maybe.
That's what you
I was
did.
Very swarthy.
You might have been.
Oh, God.
Okay. So let's get through this because we are going to get to that also. It is believed that the source of these memories through recovered memory therapy are often more like cryptomnesia and confabulations that combine experience, knowledge, imagination, and suggestion or guidance from the hypnotist than recall of a previous existence. Once created, those memories are indistinguishable from memories based on events that occurred during the subject's life. Memories reported during past life regression have been investigated and revealed historical inaccuracies that are easily explained through a basic knowledge of history, elements of popular culture, or books that discuss historical events. Experiments with subjects undergoing past life regression indicate that belief in reincarnation and suggestions by the hypnotist are the two most important factors regarding the contents of memories reported.
I mean, if you're talking to somebody, wouldn't they want, like, if they're going to talk about their past lives, wouldn't they want to be somebody important?
Yeah, but most of them are not.
They just ran it like, I was a stockbroker.
Yeah, most of them are like, my name was Sarami, and my wife lived in another village.
My wife, no.
Wait, but how much wow. of this is influenced? How much of this is influenced by the hypnotist?
So that's what we were just talking about. So skeptics are saying that all of it is. However, we're going to get into it with what you have to say right now.
All right, so now with that being said, Dr. Tucker's research, based in part on the cases accumulated all over the world by his predecessor, Ian Stevenson, has caused little stir in the scientific community. to Dr. Michael Levin, director of the Center for Regenerative and Developmental Biology at Tufts University, who wrote in an academic review.
Sorry, what? The name Tufts University just...
It's a prestigious school.
It makes me giggle.
Okay.
Hashtag child.
Jesus, it's like working with children over here.
Okay, can I finish?
Yes.
Is that
absolutely.
Okay, Chris?
Please do.
That's what she said.
Ah, God. I walked right into that one. All right. So at Tufts University, who wrote in an academic review of Tucker's first book that it presented a first-rate piece of research, said that's because current scientific research models have no way to prove or debunk Tucker's findings. When you fish with a net with a certain size of holes, you will never catch any fish smaller than those holes, Levin says. What you find is limited by how you are searching for it. Our current methods and concepts have no way of dealing with this data. So, to be fair, Dr. Tucker's research cannot be fully evaluated through known scientific parameters. Yes.
Boom! Answered your question.
Well, I mean, there's no way. There's no way you can perform the scientific method on this shit.
Exactly,
right.
Which is why it is parascience, parapsychology. It is, that's why it is what it is. That's why it's the division of perceptual studies and not the division of scientific studies.
And see, and I think that's why I legit really want to, like, look at it, because of its inability to be reproduced or fully evaluated through, you know, that known scientific method, it would be really interesting to see what's actually written and how it's substantiated.
Oh, I agree.
I mean, I could see that there's a way to reproduce it, but it would involve doing the same process with a different person, like doing the same process with the same subject, but a different, like, doctor doing that process. But then you're limited to, like, the fact, like, the inconsistencies that person might bring along.
Well, right, because it's perceptual, because, you know, you can't have repeatable results. You should be able to repeat the same process with, you know, excluding the same kind of variables and controlling for other variables with a different subset of people and get some sort of results that are similar. There should be some way that you can analyze that data and compare it. You do comparison analysis and see, you know, if you're finding trends or if there's things that are, you know, showing in the data that basically proving what you're trying to do. But
welcome
to
the geek
that,
portion
then,
of this podcast.
I'm
well,
sorry.
I think this whole episode is.
I'm so sorry.
No, I mean it's great stuff.
And I was going to say, so that all, like, being able to make a repeatable experiment, so let's just posit that reincarnation and past life regression is that type of psychotherapy is a valid use of memory stimulation. Let's just posit that.
Okay.
So let's say that that's a real thing. How would we ever find a control?
You can't.
You can't. There's no control.
You embed something
exactly.
in somebody's soul.
Well, and that's why the whole thing with the hypnotist, I mean, and that's why it's kind of pushed me right onto the skeptics right from, you know, agreeing with the skeptics right off the bat, because as soon as you introduce a hypnotist into that with suggestions,
I mean,
you know,
at that
it's
point,
not
you've
even,
gone...
even if you, yeah, I mean, at that point, you're interfering with whatever it is you're trying to find. Even if you use the same suggestions, it could be everything from tone to the pause between the amount of time you speak to the person you're hypnotizing. You know, I mean, there's so many variables you have to control there. When it's just, I don't know. I don't know.
You know what would be really interesting?
To do a study?
Well, yeah. Well, that's being done. So, like, if we were to do a study, not we, but, like, the proverbial we, the royal we, if we were to do...
Oh, no, I was meaning we. Like, let's do it. Let's do it with my paper. Let's do it.
Let's just...
It's peer-reviewed.
Well, it would be really interesting if we established control, and now we can't necessarily do this because there's also some reliability issues with this methodology as well. However, I think it might be very interesting to see if we were to use people that did not go under past life regression therapy, hook them up to a lie detector, then take people that had gone through past life regression and then hook them up to a lie detector and, you know, get them to tell their stories, assess the two, and then assess the trend of people that either passed or failed the lie detector test and how, what camp they fell into. So, like, if...
You put way too much faith in lie detectors.
Well, yeah, that's the thing that we would issue with. That's the thing that we would have issue with. However, if we got a sample size large enough, then
you could control for that too.
Right. So we have.
Why don't we just stick them onto the e-meter?
Okay, you're talking about Scientology shit. Stacey and I are actually talking about science shit.
But the thing is what she's discussing with the hypnotist is like it's exactly the same along the same lines as when you're talking about like an audit session for in Scientology. The auditor is leading a person in a direction. That's how they get to their past lives.
Listen,
bullshit.
Man, let me say it again.
Yeah, but
I put Scientology into a box. I put the lid on the box. I turned the key and locked the box.
Unfortunately, it's something that exists to this day.
I took that box and I threw it into the bottom of the ocean. We will have an episode on Scientology, I promise you.
And it'll just be me talking.
Basically, the entire time. You can start researching
and me going, oh, God. And me going, oh, God.
Yeah.
Oh, God, we're going to get hate mail. Oh, God.
I mean,
okay. So I'm proposing this scientific experiment. Let's say we got 100 people that believed in past life regression and went through the therapy and got hypnotized, and we hooked them up to this lie detector, and then we got 100 more people that did not believe in reincarnation or past life regression, that did not undergo hypnotism, and then they were asked specific things about their past lives, in quotation marks, that they don't believe they had. And then to see... Of course, there would be some level of truth to some of the questions. Like, have you gone fishing before? Things like that. Things that would be a positive response if they had actually done that. So we could do that, and then we could track the trends between the two camps and see if overwhelmingly the people that received this therapy then scored higher on their lie detector test, and so therefore... that may indicate a higher level of impressionability.
I mean, you...
Okay.
Just jump off a cliff.
So, remember there was a meme
jump in
that
here.
April used to describe me when I was talking about aliens? And I believe it was Charlie from It's Always Sunny standing in front of a board with a bunch of string and stuff. Yeah, that's exactly her right now. She has gone off the deep end.
Okay, so hold on a second. I don't mean to shoot your thing full of holes, April, because I think it's a really good idea. But I'd have to say that with the whole lie detector test thing, part of the reason why a lie detector test works is because the body has an automatic response whenever it goes to tell a lie. There's an increase in blood pressure. There's a change in body temperature. All these different things. There could be a change in the pitch of the voice. All those things that are monitored by a machine and by a person administering the test.
False.
If isn't so that doesn't happen with
False.
A lie detector test. So they don't monitor your.
Oh, they do. So that's what everyone thinks happens during a lie detector test.
Oh, great! Now you're going to give away a secret, and now everybody's going to be, you know, faking the lie detector test.
Well. You can't. Well, I mean, you can, but it's very difficult. So here's the thing.
Well, no, I think it's my point is still valid because if somebody believes what they're saying is true,
it's not about lying. It's about belief. So if I say,
if I'm a hypnotist and I lead you down this path and I suggest these things and you come out and you believe this shit to be true, even if it's not. There goes your whole study.
No, that is the study. The study would be that overwhelmingly we found that the people that had been hypnotized did believe these things that could not be possible to be true, thereby showing that they are highly impressionable when they have entered into that sort of therapy, and that any recounts of their past lives are thereby not logical or not legitimate.
If it's a past life, how can you say that it's true or it's not?
What the fuck are we trying to prove?
Historical.
I'm so confused.
historical inaccuracies.
Okay, so historical inaccuracies. You're talking about well-known events, well-researched or whatever,
exactly.
That there's no possible way that... all right. I'm going to let this drop for now because we have stuff to get through. But I still have...
The next 2 hours, we're just discussing how this plan will work.
I'm so hyped right now. Like, I had to change position, so I'm, like, in an aggressive state, like, sitting aggressively.
He's just going to jump me.
Chris is grimacing, and I'm just, like, sitting here, like, aggressively, like, talking through things.
April, you and I totally missed the boat on getting our doctorates and working at a university someplace. Yes.
Fuck yes.
I mean, hey, remember, # never too late.
Never too late. Grandma
never
Moses.
Grandma Moses.
Yaya Moses, whatever it was.
I bet she was a shaman.
Keith will be happy you're the shaman.
Of wisdom.
We need to say hello to Keith and Natalie. They're listening right now. Hey, guys.
Hello, Keith and Natalie.
Hey. Did you know a shaman Did you know that a shaman is a class in World of Warcraft and has the ability to reincarnate?
Christopher Hume, get the fuck out of here. Okay. All right. So moving along. Okay. Here's what makes me think the majority of his work is legit, though. Uvie, and this is just my personal opinion, this is not scientifically based, so don't think that. UVA's DOPS, in general, like we said before, it operates off of endowments. What?
It does. I just...
Oh, God, Christopher. So that's where they get their money from. That's how they pay their people. That's how they do their research. That's how they fly their asses over to India 50,000 times a year so that they can interview people with reincarnation stories. Sorry.
Oh, did you see that Dalai Lama got hospitalized?
I did not.
At 86 years old, he had a chest infection.
Oh, no.
Maybe he'll come back as like a rock.
Maybe we shouldn't talk about him dying yet. It's about time.
It's reincarnation, babe. Nobody does.
Well, that's true.
I saw recently where he said he was going to reincarnate in, like, the worst, most terrible place on Earth. So, that's fun.
Is it Liberty University?
Gary, Indiana?
Regent University?
New Jersey?
New Jersey?
God, oh my God.
Okay, all right, okay. Okay, so... That's where they get their money from, and that's some real talk. Because, like, if you know anything, you know that where people put their money is what they really believe in. So rich people are buying this shit. They're paying for this shit. Now, I know everyone's thinking, April, just because they're rich doesn't mean they're smart. I can think of several examples off the top of my head. Christopher, shut your mouth.
Woo! Ha ha!
Well, so I think... In some cases, though, that is pretty true, but I also think it's a good idea to at least take a look at what rich people spend their money on, because they are rich for a reason. Money at these people, then.
Could be because mommy and daddy had a bunch of money and they don't know how to use it.
It could be that they're or that they feel guilty because mommy and daddy shipped them off to boarding school and they never got a life with them, and they don't want to imagine them rotting in the ground.
I love how we imagine that all rich people went to, like, boarding schools and wore, like, you know, blazers.
Lacrosse
blazers.
That is
true.
Blazers and knickers.
Yeah.
I never wear knickers.
Okay, Christopher, you're up. You're up, Christopher.
God.
Well, let's get into Dr. Tucker's research a little bit, shall we? So Dr. Tucker's hypothesis is fourfold. First, quantum physics, as all of you know that I am well versed in, shows that at the most basic level of the universe, events involving its smallest particles, such as electrons, protons, you know, really getting down in there, only occur once they are observed. That's odd. Like, unless they're being watched, nothing's happening.
Does a bear shit in the woods? if a tree falls in the forest, does it make a sound?
Yeah.
Yeah, just took the words out of my mouth about the tree.
Yeah. It's because you can't perceive the sound waves doesn't mean the sound waves don't get created.
But how would you know? How would you know?
The tree fell
down.
Keyword.
Keyword. Keyword. Perception.
Perception.
Oh, my God.
Keyword.
Perceiving you all as being quiet. Second, this suggests that the material world that Madonna is a part of.
Lame.
Nobody. No.
Lame.
God, you people suck.
Oh my God! Stop dipping the dog already and
get
go
through your shit.
You people just hate fun. You just want to get back to your science experiment of 200 people on lie detector tests. This suggests that the material world may be derived from consciousness, not the other way around. Although that idea is debated by many, it is a belief that has been shared by a number of quantum physicists, including Max Planck. Planck?
I think it's Planck, but go
Planck,
ahead.
The father of quantum mechanics. Third, if consciousness creates the material world, then it may not be dependent upon that world to exist. This is some, fuck, you were getting some out there shit right now.
This is deep shit.
Yeah. Hashtag deep cuts. It would follow that consciousness does not depend on a living physical brain to exist. Fourth, if consciousness doesn't require a brain, it may continue after the brain stops working. It could
get attached to
a new brain and continue on in another life.
I know a lot of people that are conscious that I don't think have brains. So
I'm just saying. I see plenty of them in the news.
Okay, so can
Hashtag
I just
Florida Man.
Can I just go real crazy right now?
I mean, you can't go much crazier than you've
no,
already got.
No, I can. No, I
you
can
wanna,
now.
Do you got a tinfoil hat you want to put on?
Go for it.
Yeah. Okay. So if this hypothesis is correct and consciousness exists outside of the actual physical infrastructure of the body.
Yeah, I follow you so far.
Okay.
Okay.
What if this consciousness, instead of just, and that might be why we have ghosts to begin with. That might be why we were able to get EMFs, why we're able to get apparitions, like why we're able to take spirit photography, all these things. Like if all those things are true, if the consciousness does not hinge on a physical brain to exist, what next? Could it be that consciousness then appends to computers? And then
yes. I'm right there.
iRobot.
I'm right there. I'm right there.
Are you saying
I'm
that
download my consciousness onto like
consciousness
a USB drive
gets embedded into a computer, and then
yeah,
that
the files are in the computer.
That person becomes the computer.
There was a movie.
That consciousness.
Yeah, it's called iRobot.
Yeah, the Johnny. No, Johnny Depp movie.
Johnny Depp movie.
There's a movie with Johnny Depp where he does that.
There's also a movie with Ethan Hawke where that kind of thing happened.
What was the movie, The Ghost in the Machine, where it was like the guy that was like, he was an inmate or something and he was killed or something like that.
Lawnmower?
And went into the
Lawnmower Man?
Was that it?
Yeah, it was Lawnmower Man. Old movie.
There's
yep.
also one called Transcendence with Johnny Depp, Morgan Freeman, and Cillian Murphy.
Morgan Freeman.
Yeah.
That's
that
got to be a
good
movie.
Well, in theory, also Gattaca, although it wasn't necessarily using machines, they were using just like they were using clones of the person, and then the person's consciousness was then downloaded into the clone.
But here's my argument to you. So you're saying the consciousness doesn't necessarily need anything physical to exist, correct?
Exactly.
It needs something physical to get onto a computer. It needs to have some form of electrical impulse.
Well, souls are electrical. Spirits
and I would say that it needs something to be able to
brain
convey from. It just can't be a free floating sort of thing where
that's a ghost.
Yeah, but we talk about ghosts though. We talk about that a lot of what we talk about, don't you talk about residual stuff? I mean, what is the percentage out there of like intelligent type stuff that you can directly interact with? That's not just stating, you know, something that like repeating like a certain phrase or something. It really doesn't have anything to do with, not like an interactive type thing.
Well, why don't you come on a ghost hunt and we'll see.
Yeah, fuck all that.
She's offering you a chance to do some research.
Research.
Yeah, I guess, well, okay. So I see your point there, but I mean, okay. Let me flip the script here a minute. If the consciousness can exist outside of the human body, and we're talking about being able to put it onto something like a computer, can we also use computers to create consciousness, like you said about iRobot? I'm thinking about artificial intelligence, where we have a machine that we have machine learning where it becomes conscious, where we can
absolutely
create that.
Absolutely.
See, and to me, that's just craziness.
Hacking consciousness? Absolutely.
Yes.
We have officially gone to net.
Oh, I don't think we have. No, I think this is a beautiful discussion, and I'm so proud of it. Well, so here's some cool facts, and this might even spur some more conversation because there's some really interesting stuff here. So the median age at the time of the previous person's death, so this is per Dr. Tucker's research, the median age at the time of the previous person's death is 28. So,
wow,
old
young.
Grandma Moses is out of luck when it comes to reincarnation, it seems like, or at least the memory of reincarnation. 60% of children who claim past life memories are male.
Okay.
70% of the children interviewed claim that they died a violent or unnatural death, which I think is very interesting.
This is all in regression, hypnotic regression kind of shit?
Yes. The study of reincarnation from Dr. Tucker.
It's almost like the violent ripping of the soul from an innocent body.
Exactly. In those cases, just over 70% of those individuals were male, the same ratio as in the general population. 90% of the children say they were the same sex in a previous life that they are now. The median time between claimed death and birth is 16 months. 20% of the children claim memories of the time between death and rebirth.
What memories are those?
We actually might be talking about it soon. And if we aren't, then I'll talk about it.
Okay.
Most children who claim memories of a past life are between the ages of 2 and 6. Statements made by a child who seems to be remembering a previous life can be quite varied. The following is not an exhaustive list by any means. It is designed to give an idea of the kinds of things a parent or caregiver might hear, and in our Western culture, tend to dismiss as a fantasy. It is also true that a child might say one or more of these things and not be remembering a previous life. It's probably best not to pump a child for information, nor to try and prevent him or her from saying such things, such as, you're not my mommy or daddy, which Chris hears all the time. Unfortunately, still parents can relate to that. I have another mommy or daddy. When I was big, I used to have blue eyes, had a car, whatever.
That happened before I was in mommy's tummy.
That would be weird.
I have a wife, husband, or children. I used to drive a truck, live in another town, etc. I died in a car accident after I fell, etc. Remember when I lived in another house, was your daddy, etc.
Remember when I was your daddy? What?
We're going to talk about it.
It's like being your own grandpa.
Yeah, it kind of is.
Wow. Well, let's talk about some famous accounts of reincarnation and some past life regression. Chris, you got a story for us?
I mean, you know I do. I've got all the stories. So
go for it.
When we were playing World of Warcraft, we had this great...
read the thing.
It's about
you
reincarnation.
Know Jesus.
It's about reincarnation.
Yeah, but I want to hear about Ryan Hammond.
Nobody cares about my geek story.
No.
So in 2009, at the age of 4, Ryan Hammond began waking up, clutching his chest, and screaming about how his heart exploded in Hollywood. His mother, Cindy, became intrigued when Ryan revealed more details from a former life. He insisted he once lived in a house in Hollywood on a street with the name Rock in it, where he had 3 sons and a friend named Senator Fives, quote-unquote Senator Fives. One day, Cindy was going through a book featuring photos from old Hollywood. Ryan peeked over her shoulder and excitedly identified one man as George and another man as himself. Cindy contacted Dr. Tucker. Through past life regression therapy, Dr. Tucker verified the man in the photo was a film star named George Raft, and the other man was Martin Martin. Is that right? Martin Martin?
Yep.
Who died in 1964. Upon contacting Martin's daughter, she confirmed Martin was a Hollywood agent, lived on North Roxbury Drive, had 3 sons, and once met with New York Senator Irving Ives. After meeting with Martin's daughter, Ryan lost interest in his Hollywood memories. He was standoffish at the meeting and told his mother afterward his daughter's energy had changed. Dr. Tucker's explanation? Upon seeing people from their past have moved on, reincarnated children gain closure and forget their former experiences.
Christopher's making faces.
I mean...
That's why I'm pausing.
I can't
hold on then.
I mean, it's hard to comprehend and not just take it as a child's games.
Yeah,
and
but
then,
how would he know
that information was right? Exactly.
Hmm?
Yeah, but
he was 4.
That information is correct.
But then, like, the explanation at the end does not fill me with any sense of.
Well, I also took this from. I hasten to put my source out there, not because I don't want to give them credit where credit is due, but because it's just a filthy tabloid kind of thing. So therefore, you know, you have to be wary of this writing. However, I do know that this story is at least pretty well. Like, this was just a really good recap. He actually went into this story during the presentation that Carrie and I went to. So, there's a lot of details that have been left out of this. All right. Ready for the next one?
Yeah.
Yes.
At first, Erica Ruhlman laughed off her 5-year-old son's Luke's odd tendency to call toys and objects Pam. She was also unconcerned by his comments about having once been a girl. He would say that he had black hair when he was a girl, or that he wore the same earrings as his mom when he was a girl. Out of curiosity, Erica eventually asked Luke who Pam was. I was, he said. Well, I used to be, but I died and I went up to heaven. I saw God, and then eventually God pushed me back down, and when I woke up, I was a baby, and you named me Luke. After pressing him for more details, Luke told his mother he lived in Chicago, took the train a lot, and died in a fire. After mentioning his death, Luke made a hand motion indicating someone jumping out a window. When Erica punched the information into a search engine, she discovered a news story about a fire in the Paxton Hotel in Chicago. In March of 1993, 19 people died in a fire at the building, and a woman, Pam Robinson, perished when she jumped out a window. Erica couldn't explain how Luke would have known about a fire in Chicago. He had never been to the city, and she had never discussed it with him.
Hmm.
Just spookies.
Creepy pastas.
Yeah, these are like creepy pastas, man.
Maybe they're just children who read a lot.
I think that they're intriguing pastas.
This kid is 5.
I mean, he's reading beyond his age limit.
I taught myself to read when I was 3.
Do what?
I taught myself to read when I was 3.
She taught herself to read when she was 3. So,
wow.
I mean,
yes, thank you for the translation.
Well, April is looking at me like she couldn't understand, so I figured instead of forcing her to say it again, I would give you a hand.
All right, I'm feeling horribly inadequate right now.
That's how I feel most days.
Oh, stop it.
Ah.
Don't. I have many inadequacies.
Oh, don't we all?
She has these little baby fingernails.
Excuse me?
She has these little tiny fingernails.
What's that got to do with Surprise the Tea in China?
She's got like Sally from Nightmare Before Christmas, like Sally pincer fingers, but she's got like these little tiny fingers. They're like long, but then they get real tiny, and then her fingernails are really tiny.
So they're good for cutting up Coke.
I'm just saying, inadequacies. She doesn't have those long, dainty fingers like you. I'm just trying to make you feel better.
I think you're just making shit up.
I know I'm not. That is legit. That's a real thing.
My name is Carrie Longus. I'm 35 years old, and I bite my fingernails.
I mean, I bite my fingernails, too.
Yeah, but you have dainty fingers. Okay.
All right. So from the time he was 2 years old, a Midwestern child named Lee insisted he had another house and another mommy. By the age of 3, he began saying he was born on June 26, rather than his actual birthday, which is June 21st. Lee claimed his middle name was Co. He wrote movies for a living, daughter named Jennifer. His sister asked him how old he was when he died, and he promptly replied, 48. Lee's curious parents relayed the titles of several movies to Lee, asking if he had written them. When they mentioned Gone with the Wind, Lee became enthusiastic. He eagerly claimed he wrote the film. After a quick Google search, Lee's parents learned the writer of Gone with the Wind was Sidney Coe Howard. Howard was born June 26 and had a daughter named Jennifer and passed away at 48. As these details of Coe's life were unknown to Lee's parents, it is unclear how he knew them. This leaves reincarnation as a possible explanation.
Oh,
why
shit.
Do these Hollywood types? Why do Hollywood people get to be reincarnated? Like, what?
This is just the stories that I chose for our audience, but there was a ton of stories.
I feel like maybe this one they just got lucky, and he likes Gone with the Wind because it's a fucking 6-hour.
He was 2 years old.
Hey, it's a colorful a journey.
Okay. Well, I had to give that one to you, Stacey, because I mean, hello. But
frankly, Scarlett, I don't give a damn.
But yeah. The reason
right.
that we're doing a lot of the Hollywood ones is because honestly, I don't think that. Any of us, not just Christopher, could pronounce the, like, Indian ones because it's, like, Praveet Mishal.
We should have thrown at least one in there.
4 or 5 names. It's really bad.
I just would have called
you should have thrown at least one in there and gave it all to Christopher to pronounce.
Oh, yeah, just fuck me.
I try.
Well, how about we get to our last story?
Okay, let's get to the last story.
Well, this story is largely based on rumors. It's nonetheless very chilling. Allegedly, a 3-year-old boy from Golan Heights, which is near Syria, was
Golan Heights.
Potato, potato. Was born with a red birthmark on his head. He claimed this was from being murdered in a past life. Physician Dr. Eli Losh claims to have investigated the story. Losh took the boy from city to city in Israel until the boy recognized a village. He walked around the town for quite some time before approaching a strange man and saying, "I used to be your neighbor. We had a fight, and you killed me with an axe." That's pretty fucking brutal. Then the boy led Losh and the accused man to a spot where he claimed to have been buried. A skeleton was found in the ground with a wound in the skull corresponding to the boy's birthmark. The man he accused eventually confessed to having murdered his neighbor 4 years prior.
Whoa!
That's a really interesting way to explain us a meningioma.
This kid is he is needed on some cold cases.
Wow.
So here we are, past life regression. And before we end, I want to give everyone a chance to talk about how they think they died in their past life, because I'm morbid like that. And I know that one of us has an idea of how they died in a past life. And
I'm on my first go around.
Maybe you might be clean as a baby's bottle. Baby.
Maybe.
Is there anything you don't like? Okay, wait. Carrie, can I have permission to tell your tale?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so Carrie and I, Carrie, you're gonna have to correct me here. Carrie thinks that she was either drowned or strangled in her past life because she has always had a very strong aversion to cloth or anything, you know, just sensory wise. She doesn't need, if you touch her neck, she will flip out. And that's 100% true. Been there, done that. Almost got punched in the face. Probably 1,000 times.
Well, stop trying to choke out Carrie.
I know, right?
But it's not even that. It's just touching the front of my throat, thinking about it, seeing someone else touch their throat, all of it. If I think about it.
So you wouldn't be good in a situation where somebody's choking and they're trying to give the universal sign for help me, I'm choking?
I can just like anything else, I can supersede my aversion to it and do what has to be done. It's not like the kind of phobia that prevents me necessarily from doing something, especially in an emergency situation like that.
I just imagine we're out at lunch and I'm choking and I'm trying to get Carrie to help me, and then she's just freaking out because I'm.
She probably would. Ah, she probably would.
She's like, no.
She so. I think that I died by probably, I would have to gather plane, but that we fell into the ocean and I died. Because I am...
That's pretty specific.
Yeah. Well, I've had lots of dreams about it, which is why I think that that's exactly how I went. And you know how scared I am of airplanes. I will get on an airplane, but the entire time I'm on an airplane, I'm sweating bullets the entire time. I don't like it. If I never have to get in an airplane again, it would be fantastic. I don't like them. I never have liked them. Like, they have always creeped me the fuck out. And every time I get on a plane, or, like, the weeks before I'm going to get on a plane, and this could just be anxiety, too. Like, I could just be a nutter, and, you know, this is my anxiety manifesting. But, like, I have dreams of myself in a plane that's falling and falling apart as it's falling down, and then we land in the water. It's the same dream every single time. And it creeps me out. But that's me. That's how I think I went.
I gotta say, I don't really have any recurring dreams or, like, in Carrie's case, I don't have anything that, like, really just, I can't deal, like, immediately just, like, triggers me, which makes me wonder if I'm on my first go-around, which
maybe.
Maybe explain why I'm so cool.
Oh, that's it.
I'm like a blank slate. Just writing it as I go along.
It's just like, you know nothing, Jon Snow.
Yeah.
You're just like a baby. You're like a spiritual baby.
You know what?
So
I,
now I'm
going
to go have sex
to
with my aunt.
That in the span of life cycles, if we're going to go with the kind of Buddhist idea that you reach the end and everything, and, you know, as supposedly as you go along through your life cycles, the closer you get to the end, the harder your life is, and usually the more physical pain you're in for your life. And so I would put you at the beginning of your travels, Chris. You are a light person.
Sweet little angel baby. Yeah, sweet little angel baby.
Well, the next iterations are in for some hard times, because I put this body through quite a bit.
That's okay. You're going to get a new one at the end. It's fine.
Yeah, you'll get recycled.
I'll get recycled.
You'll come back as a coffee cup.
And I'll get broken in, like, a move, a cross-country move,
yeah,
in a pod.
Yep. Because you love it so much.
I'm happy to see that fucking pod go.
Yeah. All right, Stacey, let's hear it.
So, I was thinking, like, the one thing that I have a really, and we joke about it, but I mean, it's a real true thing for me, is I really do have hypochondriasis sort of anxiety, where it's very medically centered. You know, like, I get really freaked out when I need to have anything done. I get very, you know, if I had surgery a couple months ago, and I mean, I was really freaking out about it. I've actually gone in just to, you know, have regular labs done, and have had complete panic attacks when I've had EKGs done. Just having the leads put on my chest makes me just flip the fuck out.
Yeah,
so,
it's like white coat syndrome, isn't that what they call it?
Well, no, because, well, white coat syndrome is like you have high blood pressure just because you're in at the doctor's office.
Yeah.
And I'm actually quite the opposite. When I'm at the doctor's office, I'm trying very hard to remain calm while I'm getting my blood pressure taken, because I want to make sure it's an accurate reading. I do deep breathing. You know, I try to remind myself, I just walked back to this room. So if it's a little elevated, that's probably why. And my blood pressure is really good. It's usually like 100 over like 60. I mean, it's pretty good. So I don't think it's that. I think it's the trigger for me is what could possibly be wrong that I don't know about that could kill me at any second. So I think maybe in a past life, I may have been somebody that lived a hard life, that didn't take care of their body, and maybe didn't pay attention to signs or things that I should have done to take care of myself, or warning signs or whatever for my health. And maybe that was what killed me. And maybe that's the lesson that I learned going into this life, but it's made me like hyper aware.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yep.
Because I mean, I can actually physically feel when things go wrong with my body. Like, I swear I can. Like, if I'm nervous or upset about something, I can feel my blood pressure go up. I know it in my face. My cheeks get hot. My head feels like it's being squeezed. Like, I can physically feel my body change. It's weird.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just very, I'm acutely aware of any change to anything in my body. So, I don't know.
That's really cool. Yeah, so we all have our little stories, except for Sweet Baby Angel Christopher, who, who will, who knows how that'll go.
Who knows? Maybe I was a doctor, and maybe that's why I'm all about it.
Oh, yeah, maybe. Maybe you were like a plague doctor, and so you tried to help people so hard, and you couldn't help them, that now you're like, I have to identify the problem before there is a real problem. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that would totally make sense. Because think about me with my kids, too. Oh, God, I have to watch it. Because, like, I have to always maintain so I don't freak them out.
All right. Well, everyone, that was Reincarnation and Past Life Regression with Freaks and Geeks. We hope you enjoyed it. We hope you enjoyed the conversation tonight. I know we sure did. It was fantastic. And we will be back next week, and we are going to kind of continue on along this vein. We're going to talk about what happens when you die from a biological perspective. Like, what actually no shit happens?
How you become worm food, unless you're cremated. And then
you become worm food. That's a possibility. Okay, so we're going to talk about all that next week. Anybody else have any alibis?
Reach out to April on the Facebook page, and I'm sure you will get a copious amount of discussion from just trying to figure out how we can prove people have past lives.
Yeah.
Yeah, let us know if you want to be a part of the
expand on the experiment.
Yeah, for sure.
Or volunteer.
You think we need to have an IRB for that?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, we definitely do. all right, everybody. Well, it has been a pleasure. We will see you again next week. Later, guys.
Stay freaky and stay geeky.
See you next time.